I'm Lisa Stone, and you're listening to Parenting Aces. Welcome to Season 10 of the Parenting Aces podcast, part of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and today we are going to be talking about a new course for parents to help their kids develop their athletic skills on and off a tennis court. And I'm really excited to bring you our guests. We actually have two guests this week, two incredible women, Kalindi Denhofer and Emma Doyle, and you're going to love them. They are bubbly. They are knowledgeable. They are approachable. And they are going to share some really, really helpful information for all of us as parents that, you know, we know getting our kids active is challenging, especially now with COVID, and they may or may not have access to playground equipment or sports teams, or, you know, some places tennis still isn't even open. So this is a way to help your kids get active, and it's simple, it's straightforward, and I'm going to bring them on in just a sec. Before I do, I want to just give one push for our premium memberships. If you haven't become a premium member yet of Parenting Aces, please go to parentingaces.com and click on the join button. As you'll hear in this week's podcast, we've got a special offer for our premium members, so we'll talk about that shortly. But go ahead and click, and we hope to see you as part of our premium membership soon. All right, that said, let me get Kalindi and Emma on, and let me unmute you ladies. Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's absolute pleasure to be on.
Hi, Lisa. Yeah, this is super fun. Thanks so much for having us.
Of course, of course. So I think I have this thing about Australian and New Zealand accents lately. I've had, I don't know how many guests so far in season 10 that are from your hemisphere, but you're in our hemisphere right now. So thank goodness we didn't have to do crazy time things. That's been a nightmare for me.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. About 10 years ago, I started traveling internationally. I haven't missed an Aussie Open since 1988. I was actually a ball girl when it first moved to Melbourne Park as a youngster. And I remember always wanting to make my dad really proud of me. Clendy and I are very close to our dads, and he's there watching. He's really proud. And my first ever roll, I rolled it over the fence. I held on to it a bit like, I don't know, anyone can relate on the ball toss on the serve. You know, when you end up just like gripping it a bit tight, you shank it. I shanked it. I shanked the roll over the fence. But that's, yeah, I have a bit of a global triangle between Melbourne, Glasgow, Scotland, and Denver, Colorado. So very fortunate that tennis has, you know, for someone who was pretty average as a kid playing wise, you know, I didn't really ever even represent my country as a player, but I've had those opportunities as a coach. So Australia's very dear to my heart, and I also love now being able to impact here in the States. So thank you, Lisa, and I appreciate everything you do as well. I think definitely premium membership all the way, baby. I love it.
Yeah, sure. let's get these people in. And Kalindi, give us a little bit of your background. I know Emma is a coach. She's a presenter. She travels all over the place. The first time Emma and I met was at the WTCA conference in New York. And, you know, we've kind of stayed in touch ever since. And Kalindi, you and I connected through Emma, but tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I have the you know, what you're doing with educating the parents is really incredible to me, because I had the experience of, I was a competitive junior athlete and my dad was my coach. So I got to have very firsthand experience of the, you know, amazing positives of that, and then also certain challenges related to it. And then, you know, separately, I'm an only child, and my dad started this like crazy tennis company selling training aids when I was like one or a few months old or something, and everyone told him he was crazy. They're like, you're never going to succeed selling training aids. Who's going to buy those crazy, you know, kinesthetic devices? But, you know, lo and behold, I'm 27 and we're in our 27th year as a company. So something about the insanity paid off. And yeah, I grew up being the guinea pig for all of the kinesthetic training aids. And it's actually really cool, because I mean, I can attribute that type of learning. I'm so far from a natural athlete. Like, I'm incredibly clumsy. I had to be taught how to skip over like many hours and jump rope, like things the neighborhood kids were just doing. And I was like, how do you do that? So my dad very patiently taught me how to skip and jump rope. But yeah, the training is like, I didn't start tennis until I was like 10 and a half, 11. Like, my dad, of course, wanted me to play. He was, you know, crazy passionate about tennis and would try and get me out. But I was scared of failing. I didn't want to make a mistake. I didn't want to let down my dad. I was like, I don't know about this. I'm going to stick to dolls. Those are pretty safe. And what clicked for me was when my dad pulled out this kinesthetic training divide aid, which was a ball on a stick and the ball rotated, to give a feeling for brushing up, to get a feeling for hitting topspin. And I had that success of hitting a topspin forehand for the first time. And after that, I was like hooked. I was like, wait a minute, this feels really good. Like, this is super cool. You know, like, we're all tennis geeks here. That feeling of a tennis ball connecting to the racket, you know, it's amazing. And yeah, so I continued to be a guinea pig for all the training aids. And yeah, I've dabbled a little bit in some coaching myself. I've also a teacher for yoga and mindfulness, and have, you know, seen how the brain works in relation to these types of learning. And yeah, it's a family business, and I'm continuing to, you know, be involved in it as an adult. And I'm really passionate about sharing these things with parents and players and coaches, because I don't think it's talked about as much as it should be. And it really does make a difference in, you know, getting kids excited and passionate about tennis and succeeding and having fun and building self-esteem.
Sure. So we talk a lot at Parenting Aces about building the athlete first and the tennis player second. And part of building the athlete is getting them used to different movements, understanding how their body works in relation to the world around them. And so I'm wondering if one or both of you can kind of give our viewers a bit of background on what kinesthetic learning is, because we're going to be talking about your Kinesthetic Learning Academy. And I want to just make sure that our viewers kind of understand the premise behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to take that on. And especially, I guess, similar to Kalindi in the fact that I learn very much best by doing. So make no mistake, what is kinesthetic learning? It's learning by doing. And maybe some of your listeners can relate, or maybe they're watching their child at a tennis lesson where, you know, they're all revved up and excited to go, and then the coach just stands there and talk. I call it war stories. Yeah. And look, I'm guilty of that in chapter one of my coaching life. I think someone told me once I had verbal diarrhea, and that's fair enough. I did. So getting, you know, kids, like, I've never met an 8-year-old that's ever pulled a hamstring, right? So, you know, we don't need a traditional warm up. Let's get the kids having fun. Let's get them, let's get them activated, and let's work on what I call cross-body coordination. So the story Kalindi just shared is actually really common. How many kids, like, for example, when they skip, the same leg goes with the same arm. So in tennis, you know, the upper body does one thing and the lower body does something else. So so in many ways, the kinesthetic learning products, so it's basically we're changing the equipment so that the child can experience things like cross-body coordination. Can I move this hand across to this side of my body? Can I touch my opposite foot? And can I do that with products to make it fun, to make it engaging, and, of course, so that they feel how the body needs to move. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many training aids in other sports. I mean, golf is probably one of the biggest ones, and I'm an avid golfer. So I'm always experimenting with those products. And it was definitely my dad as well, like Kalindi. He, on my back end, I remember I had a continental Eastern grip, and one day he tied a jumper, or a sweater, I should say, here in the States, around, you know, my arm here, and he kept this arm in, but he left this one free so that I could, my top hand just being dominant on the back end. It made such a difference just by tying a jumper around my body. And so, you know, I remember this is one of the first, like, bits of kinesthetic equipment. This is the on-court, off-court tic-tac wrist clicker. And I bought this well before I even knew Kalindi and Joe from their company, had it shipped out to Australia. I've helped that many forehands just in the position of clicking it in. So when this is clicked in, I can then feel what it's like to do that initial turn. Click, 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 click. So I bought that product, and then my first ever overseas trip, 10 years there, of course, I get off this plane at Hilton Head, South Carolina. Who's there? And I don't even know how I'm going to get to Hilton Head. I thought it was just like 10 minutes down the road.
And Joe
did it. Joe's like, oh, would you like a lift? You know, I'm going that way. And I was like, the Joe Jennifer. I was like, come on, are you kidding? I would spend an hour and a quarter in the car with you driving to Hilton Head. And now they're my US sponsor. So I'm so fortunate to be in the States because of On-Court, Off-Court and my relationship to kinesthetic learning products to be able to accelerate that improvement. So it's not just here's, you know, not just voice. It's actually here's what it looks like, here's what it feels like, here's what it sounds like, and combining all of those preferences, especially the feel-based learning, so that we can really help kids with that cross-body coordination, with hand-foot coordination, hand-eye coordination. I could go on and on because I'm really also very passionate, and then I'll let Kalina, you jump in and add to this. But I just want to say how passionate I am about younger age children. I am an auntie to six beautiful nieces and nephews who I adore, electric redheads. It's wonderful, the Irish and Scottishiness heritage down the road. That's just a side note. Anyway, that's what podcasts are all about, aren't they? Side note. What I love doing, especially in helping them as well, is really looking at it's not tennis lessons. Like I'm huge, like one of them's three, for example, and I'm like, please do not go to tennis lessons. What we need to do is put you in fundamental perceptual motor skills, throw and catch, locomotion, and striking, like anything that does that, and kitty gym, or you know, feeling the body. All my programs, you know, pre-6 are all about what is the body doing, how is it moving, and how can we use equipment to help you feel that, and you know, even up until even 7, 8, huge fan. Otherwise, kids just get burnt out with tennis.
Right.
As a sport. So
and we have a problem, at least in this country, of kids specializing younger and younger, right? And they don't learn those basic skills. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, Emma. And it's interesting, when my kids were little, I remember learning, I did a lot of reading because I was a fitness instructor at the time. And so I was very involved in learning about the body and how the body moves. And I remember reading that kids who don't learn to crawl, who go straight to walking, oftentimes miss that cross-body coordination. They don't develop that. And it doesn't just impact their ability to perform athletically. It can impact their ability to read. It's a whole slew of things. And so, you know, crawling is just kind of the first thing kinesthetically that we need our kids to learn. And then they learn all these other actions by getting on the playground, by going out in the yard, by tossing a ball, by kicking a ball, by playing tag, by jumping rope, by all of the riding a scooter, riding a trike, riding a bike. All of these things develop their ability to move their body and understand, you know, just kind of innately. It builds that internal sense of, if I do this, that will happen. And you need that for tennis, for sure.
Yeah. And just on that note, I would just add that tennis is a problem solving game. And I think still, I spent 10 years in coach education back in Melbourne. And so many times the coach would just give the answer to the child. And, you know, I'm definitely on a global mission to help balance that out. I'm not saying that's sometimes, yes, you need to give a direct command. I'm not saying you don't. But the more you can unlock the learning within the child, that is how, what you say here on Parenting Aces, how you build the person within the player at the same time. So kinesthetic learning very much does that, because it's rather than me saying, hey, you know, shorten your swing, we just put the backswing solution on you and you have to shorten the swing. Without me saying it, and with always a tactical objective in mind, I'm big on that as well. So, and Kalindi, you've done, I know your dad did a bit of research as well with regards to kinesthetic learning. Do you want to, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I know way back in the day, my dad had done some research specifically with the Max Planck Institute, which was looking at a variety of different sports including skiing and golf. I know you mentioned you're a big golfer, and I've been to some of these trade shows where they have like, one time there was a tennis trade show inside of a golf trade show. The tennis one was really tiny. The golf one, I kid you not, there was like 100 golf training aid companies. And I was like, I mean, in tennis, like, you know, there's not very many training aid companies because no one's crazy enough to do that. But in golf, there's a lot of them because it's like everyone gets how like important it is. But yeah, I mean, basically the research shows that when you start to unlock and utilize kinesthetic or feel-based learning, you speed up improvement by 200-300%. You know, most people are not pure auditory learners. In fact, it's a really small percentage that are pure auditory learners. But, you know, as Emma, as you mentioned, coaches work from that perspective, and I'm guilty of the verbal diarrhea problem myself. So, it's difficult. It's like you want to talk and you want to help, but it's just not like the dots don't connect. You know, I think what we're really looking at with this is guided discovery, helping empower the athlete to feel it themselves, to make the connection, to click the dots, which happens when you give them certain tools and resources. So that might, you know, that might involve a kinesthetic training aid. It might involve asking them strategic questions. It might involve having them do certain exercises or activities that help to guide them through that process. And then that's when you start to see those dramatic jumps in improvement by that 200-300%+, which is really cool. Like, you know, if it hadn't been for any of that, I would never even have started tennis, or I would have quit really soon because I don't, like, there are natural athletes out there that don't really have to be like helped in doing kinesthetic learning. They just kind of automatically get it. And honestly, what they're doing when the coach is talking is they're tuning out the coach because the coach is not telling them anything helpful. They just get it themselves. You know, they watch and they try and they feel and they just get it. But that's a small, you know, percentage. And there's so many other kids that can be empowered and can learn these skills. And yeah, it's not just about tennis. It's at that point, like, it helps them to feel more capable in general. Like, you know, now thanks to some of these skills I learned, I think if someone saw me hit a tennis ball now, even though I'm not playing that often, they think I'm a decent athlete. And that's probably translated to other sports or other activities that I've tried. I'm still not like the world's best athlete, but I've learned certain motor skills that, like, hey, right, that's cool. Like, I'm more coordinated than I was at age 8.
Well, one of the things I think is really cool with all of this, too, is this isn't limited to beginning athletes, right? It's not limited to young children. We see professional tennis players on the tour, top players, constantly making these little tweaks to their strokes and their on-court movement. This is kinesthetic change that they're going through because, for whatever reason, either they've watched video of themselves or somebody else has watched it and told them, you know, I see this, this, and this that could be improved. And then they get out on the practice court and they unlearn what they've been doing and relearn something else by actually doing it. You can't learn it just by somebody telling you or by watching it on video. That may turn the light bulb on for you and make you realize that there's something better, a better way to do this. But until you actually perform the activity and, you know, we use the term, you know, grooving your strokes, right? When you're learning something new, let's get out and groove the forehand. Let's groove the backhand. I think it's really cool that this kind of approach to learning isn't limited to little kids or beginners.
Yeah. And I would love to jump in the space there, you know, with all my years of coaching. It's amazing when the racket is actually behind the body.
Let me see if I can figure out how to get you full screen. Hang on one second.
All right. So as I was saying, when the racket is behind your body, of course, you can't see it. So if the coach is saying, oh, you know, your racket's on the wrong side or on the opposite side of the hitting your hitting side, then that's too far back. Well, what if I can't feel that? Or what if I'm a small sort of kid and the racket, the actual weight of the racket is the reason I'm swinging on the wrong side of my body, because all I want to do, of course, is hit it hard, which most kids want to do. So that is all feel. That's all behind my body. And being able to, you could tell someone until they're blue back in the face, oh, your racket's on the wrong side of your body. But actually having a training aid, such as the forehand fixer or the arm rotator on the same side as the body, you can feel that across your back with this contraption on to then be able to keep the racket on the hitting side of the body. So that was one thing, you know, when the racket's behind us, we can't feel it. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that you have around 8 seconds to 10 seconds to transfer that information. So a lot of people say, for example, we'll just use the water bottle, which is one of the exercises in the video, is so I'm tipping it out to really feel that stretch of my left hand, and then I'm tucking it in as I take a drink. I'm tipping it out and I'm tucking it in. Of course, it's plastic, so you can check tension. It's half filled with water, so I can feel that, and it's obviously half filled with water is slightly weighted. So, again, my arm is feeling that as I turn. These are some examples that you need to do it. You need to feel it. Now, put it down and do it straight away. Just be mindful. That's one of the techniques within the course, that you don't go and get a drink and talk about how amazing that activity was, and then you sort of come back and you go, my racket's still on the wrong side of my body. So that's just another one of the little subtleties within the course. And the other thing that, you know, there's actually 90 videos in there, which is a little crazy. I think Kalini and I, when we get together, our brains explode. And, you know, she's like, well, Emma, what do you think about this? And I'm like, oh, I love it. Let me give it a go. And, you know, especially with my players. And so there are 90 videos in it. And perhaps I might just share my screen. Would this be a good time, yeah, Lisa, to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And if I'll just quickly show it, because then people can maybe see and feel the difference.
Yeah, perfect.
All right. So I'm just going to click.
So while you're getting that up, I want to just let our listeners and viewers know that that Kalindi and Emma have developed the Kinesthetic Learning Academy. It is an online course, and it's amazing. Are you ready?
Can you see my screen, Lisa?
Now we can.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, great. So you can see the Kinesthetic Learning Academy. This is inside the product. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you can see here, I just wanted to show you because you were asking about all sorts of ages. So really, because of COVID, all these sort of, you notice here, these are under 8 challenges. And again, because of the pandemic, these are all things that you could do at home, and they're using fry pans and frozen peas. And so we're talking about no tennis equipment for children under the age of 8. So that's, you know, that's where it starts. Then we've got tennis equipment for children under the age of 8. Then we've got sort of even some post-COVID safety tips around how different ways of picking up the ball. And then it's my fundamental belief that everyone can rally, even 2-year-olds. Give them a giant Swiss ball and they can push it back and forward with a parent or a sibling. That to me is a rally. So these are the 10 regression steps on how that everyone can rally, with step 10 being with 2 rackets. And then you see we've got under 10 for reception, different reception series, and some great kinesthetic equipment from on-court, off-court, like the catching racket example. We've got a hoop series, fun with a partner that they can do up and down the driveway. So a lot of these were born, as I said, with the pandemic. Now, this little series here is for children 8 to 12 years of age, and this is all about how do you fall in love with the continental grip. So this is how do you get your continental grip license. And then we've got the 2 biggest issues on the serve, your rhythm and your ball lift. I call it Dr. Ball Lift. So that's a whole series on that. Then we've got 10 plus. So this could be adults. This could be your green and yellow ball program. But as you can see, there's a series on the serve. There's a series on the forehand. And in brackets is all the on-court, off-court equipment. We've got the backhand, the volley, and then the bonus is the footwork series. So we've got 12 different sort of footwork activities using the equipment. So I'll stop sharing there. But I just wanted to give you, I thought that might make a little bit more sense, Lisa, to actually show.
Yeah, for sure.
Show the course.
And I'm going to just put the link to the course up on the screen now, too. For those of you who are interested in the course, this is the link to actually purchase it.
Yeah.
Or to take a look at it first.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's a landing page there, and we've got some examples in there. I think Clinty and I have done a whole webinar on kinesthetic learning.
Yeah.
So if you want more information, go and check that out. And, of course, just for the next 24 hours, just for listening, because you're halfway, or we're almost over halfway already in the podcast, we'd love to offer just your listeners 50% off the course, which takes it to less than $50 or something. Clinty, you're all over the numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like closer to 40 even. Like it's very, very affordable. And again, 90 videos. How did it turn into 90? Emma, I think I said like, hey, maybe we should do one or two videos on something. And then Emma says, well, this weekend I did like 40 videos. No big deal.
Yeah, because I'm passionate about it. And there's, things like homemade equipment as well. Like, so, just cut a tennis ball in half and you put these under your heels or your toes to help you on your serve, to help you give a bit of extra spring.
I love that.
Homemade equipment as well as lots of equipment through on court, off court. But the course is just, for parents just to get some ideas of what they can do at home with their child. Because going to a tennis lesson once a week, tennis lessons are not the sport. Tennis is the sport, right? So, yes, I'm not saying don't take lessons. I'm saying, you know, what else can you do to actually complement the lesson so that, you can fall in love with all sports, which, of course, Andy Murray played soccer up until he was 14, Nadal also soccer, but so many examples of cross sports and playing that as long as you can before you specialize, which we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, for sure. And let's just say, too, that this course isn't limited to parents. Certainly coaches could benefit from learning these activities and incorporating them into those lessons or into the group lessons for sure. And, maybe the kids that aren't actually having the time where they're hitting balls can be performing some of these activities while they're standing in line waiting, right?
I have to jump in. Sorry, Clindy. Hashtag. Clindy doesn't mind. I know. We get along great. All right. Hashtag no more lines for the rest of my life. Like, I'm on a couple of global missions, but that is definitely one of them. There is no excuse. And even again, the pandemic has helped us create stations. Just put a station on the side of the court and someone can be doing some cross-body coordination. They'll be working on their ball lift. We've got an awesome activity into the cone on the fence to help with that. And, we're so passionate about that. My two other global missions, just because why not, is the overuse of the word guys. Hey, guys, bring it in, guys. All right, guys, let's go, guys. And you've got a group of eight young girls that you're trying to inspire. That's another one of my global missions. And finally, in the course, you'll see I do lead by example with my language. So with parents, I'm passionate. I used to run my businesses. We actually had we call it not parent-teacher night. It was parent on court night. So they actually came on court. They got to do the training program that we had set out. We always tell our parents in advance what we were working on. And then they got to experience a red ball or what it felt like to hit with an orange ball, green ball, etc. And what I would subtly do then is help them with their language, because we all need help with our communication. So one of my big things about is don't tell your child, hey, don't do it that way, or why are you doing it that way, or you're doing that wrong, or that's not how you meant to do it. Just go with a future-based question. Hey, next time, how could you hit the ball higher? Next time, how could you hit it lower? How could you hit it softer? How could you hit it left, right, whatever, depending on their age, depending on how many decisions. But so that's my third sort of, global mission, just with language and helping parents reframe language and coaches. So,
well, and communication is the underlying mission of Parenting Aces as well, right? Communication between the parent and the player, between the parent and the coach, between the coach and the player, right? It all needs help. One of the things you just said is it's so cool, the fact that you got the parents on the court, use kinesthetic learning with the parents. So they would understand what is my child going through when they're hitting this green dot ball or a red ball or an orange ball. How is that different from my experience playing with a yellow ball? How does it feel when you're on a shorter court? And, you know, what are the challenges now? Maybe I can understand a little bit better what my child is going through when they're out there. So all of those types of activities build understanding and hopefully lead to clearer and more effective communication as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, singing to the choir.
Yeah, no, I know. And but I mean, I think it's important that we keep saying these things, right? I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years and, you know, we've constantly got new families coming into the sport and leaving the sport and progressing through the sport. So maybe you heard this 5 years ago, but it was applicable to you and you're hearing it today again and thinking, oh my gosh, yes, I need to be doing that. So for those of you who have stuck with us all this time, sorry if this is repetitive, but I think it's really important that we keep putting this information out there.
Yeah, I'll just say one more on language. You know, maybe you have heard it before, but there's always one or two things you can pick up. Like, so my favorite two words in helping parents and coaches with is just next time. So if you go to say something, just start with next time, and that automatically puts you in a future-based way of thinking. If anyone gets in there, I have a TEDx talk on unleashing female potential, and it's all about language. So check that out. On, you know, again, you might just pick up on one or two things. Oh, you know, yeah, I actually really struggle every time that, you know, my child goes, but why, but why, but why? And I'm like, well, I told you so. And that, you know, I do understand. So that's something that I'm not saying it's easy is basically what I'm saying. It's very easy for us to go, oh, you know, just change your language and just reframe your language. But I know after a long day and you know, as a parent, you feel like you're really trying to always help, and then you just get to the end of your tether. So one or two techniques you can use to help inspire them. And kinesthetic learning, halftime, you have to say nothing. Go and have fun. Go and explore. This little 8-year-old I was working with this week, she loved the hand racket. We've got on-court, off-court's got a racket that just covers the hand. You just to work on your soft skills. And she didn't want to go back to the racket. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Kalindi, can you talk about, like, why now? Why is this the time to launch the Kinesthetic Learning Academy? You know, why is this the time that parents need to really pay attention to this information and grab it and go with it?
I mean, my personal mentality is that this is what everyone, coaches, parents, players, should have been doing the last 20 years. But, you know, I mean, so once, now that we've got, you know, got that out of the way, which I know, you know, Emma's talked about that as well, but I think it's become a lot more obvious the past year, you know, with the pandemic, that, hey, like, it's not just about, you know, from the parent side, I can't just like send my kid to take lessons depending on the area and the country and the region. You know, it's brought to light that, all right, cool, what can we do, like, literally in our own backyard, or just, you know, me and my family unit, what can we do to work on things? And I think it's become clear that, wow, there's actually a lot of things that, you know, that can be done. And that's very empowering. And it's also great bonding and quality time for parents and kids together. Like, that's super special. Like, some of my, you know, favorite memories with my dad are being on the court with him. And when I was younger too, like, my mom would be involved too. And we'd get a family out there playing. Like, that's really special and really fun. Like, I think it's, you know, we've talked a lot about empowerment for the players, but really all of this that we're talking about, you know, these drills, these exercises, these tools, it's empowering for the parents, because as a parent, you don't need to have a tennis background. You don't need to know anything about this. The way Emma is talking and shares makes it so accessible for anyone. So you can have zero tennis or athletic background, that Emma is giving really concrete ideas that all you have to do is try that particular drill, which may or may not even involve a tennis racket or a net. You know, it's a whole variety. That's why what can you do in your living room? What can you do in your backyard? And sure, there's fun activities on the court as well. But, you know, more pertinently, it's just, it's making it accessible for everyone. I mean, why? I'm a firm believer that there shouldn't be any barriers to being able to get into the game and to play. You know, and obviously, you know, lessons and are great, especially if we can do it, you know, in the right way. And I totally agree with Emma. Let's get rid of lines forever. There's no room for those.
No,
but, you know, they're not. But not every family, they may want to take lessons. They may not be able to afford those lessons, or they may not be able to afford as many lessons. And I don't think that should be a barrier to getting into playing and to being able to play.
Right.
You know, I think what we're trying to do here is dissolve barriers and make it more accessible for more people, empower more parents, players, and coaches. You know, and we talked about parents and coaches being able to learn from this, players as well. I mean, not a young kid isn't going to go and watch this by themselves, but, you know, a teenage kid that is picking up the game and is excited about learning and improving, they could be following right along to Emma's tips and then go and try it, you know, with their sibling or with their friend, or they might be the ones that have watched it and said, "Hey, mom or dad, can we try this? Can you do this with me?" Mm-hmm. Or they might watch it and maybe they have a coach and they might say, "Hey, I saw this amazing drill idea. I'd really like to use this to work on my serve." I mean, I think that's one thing that we see a lot in other industries, like golf comes to mind. Players are really empowered and proactive in golf. And there's all these training aids out there, and they will go and they'll go and buy the training aid by themselves, and they'll watch the video and they'll go and practice it. And if they're working on it with a coach, they will tell the coach about it and get the coach to help with it. I think tennis players could be a lot more proactive in general. And, you know, that obviously starts from, it's the whole what came first, the chicken or the egg. I think if sure. parents and coaches can be empowering players to be taking this on their own, then more and more players will also take it on their own. But as more players get empowered, they can in turn inspire the parents. And the coaches, but yeah, especially teens. And honestly, like all of these exercises too, if there's like an adult player at any age that has never picked up tennis and wants to try, they could follow right along and do this themselves. You know, maybe they have a little kid too, but then they could be learning it with their kid, or maybe not. I think it's accessible to, you know, to everyone.
Well, and especially now with so many people still working from home, what a great way to take a fitness break, right? And, you know, we're sitting at our desks and we're isolated and all these things. And maybe we live in an area where our gyms are not reopened yet, or, you know, sports facilities are not reopened yet. This is a way to get physically active for the family, for everybody in the household. And, you know, you can do 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and really have, you know, that little break in your day and kind of, you know, get some movement in your body and all of these things that I think a lot of us after a year of, you know, being isolated with the pandemic are hungry for these little bursts of activity that we can do that don't interrupt our workflow, but rather kind of, you know, re-energize us to get back to our workflow.
Yeah, 100% agree. There's plenty of tools there that that you can do, and I certainly, you should see my garage. It's hilarious.
Well, I at the beginning of the pandemic, I ordered exercise bands, hand weights, and tubing. And mm-hmm. I was like, I've got to have these things in my house because I'm no longer able to go to the gym. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm somebody that works out at least once a day and a lot of times twice a day, and to not be able to go to those workouts was mentally just, you know, very frustrating and disheartening, and physically, you know, we don't have to talk about the COVID-15, but it's a thing. So,
yep. Especially here in Colorado, like, oh my goodness, this morning there's like a foot of snow. I'm like, I am running outside in that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the garage, I've got my kinesthetic learning, I've got my on-court, off-court foam balls, and I'm, against the wall. No better practice partner.
Sure.
Great workout.
Sure. Okay, so let's get into kind of the how-tos. How do people find you? Let's talk specifics about what they get when they purchase the Kinesthetic Learning Academy program. And you mentioned already the 50% off if you purchase it in the next 24 hours. But for those listening after that 24-hour period, we also have a $10 discount for the Parenting Aces premium members. And that discount code is on our discounts page on parentingaces.com. But now I'll be quiet and let you guys walk us through how to get it and what you get.
Cool. So yeah, I can actually just let me try sharing my screen. Wouldn't be fun if I didn't do that.
And as Kalindi does that, I'm pretty sure there's 9 modules off the top of my head. So as I said, 90 videos, 9 modules. And basically with the one that we have just, you know, we've called it for more for parents, you just get all the videos. Now, of course, if you want to get the training aids as well, you're more than welcome. And there's a discount code once you're inside the course. It tells you how to buy the training aids at discount as well. But Kalindi, I think she's got her screen up now.
Yeah, can you guys see that? So yeah, this is the page here, which I think I think Lisa had shared that up on up on our video screen. And yeah, it's just occ.acecoach.com/Kinesthetic Learning Academy Parent. So it's right here, you know, it's $87. Again, if you're watching it in the next 24 hours, you'll get that for 50% off, or premium members get it for $10 off if you're watching it well after the 24-hour period. And it just kind of goes into, you can also browse here. And this is actually this is the webinar that Emma was talking about. So if you're not convinced yet and you want to learn a little bit more about what kinesthetic learning is all about, you can watch a bonus 50-minute webinar, which has some additional tips from Emma and I. And this just is the landing page and kind of shows you a little bit about it. Yeah, a few testimonials there, answering some questions. And then, yeah, all you would have to do is click that Start Today button as soon as you're ready. And then that's that. And you'll get instant, I think I stopped the share there. Yeah. And then you'll get instant access to all 90 videos across. Is it 8 modules, 9 modules?
Nine.
I've lost track. There's so many. 9 modules.
I have to say, I do, anytime I'm coaching and I use a tool and I find it effective, then I upload it. So, but if you know, pre-COVID, I you know, that's why I said 90, because Kalindi even looked at me a bit strange because there was, you know, somewhere in the 80s, but she doesn't even know this, but I have uploaded a couple more. So there's 100%, there's 90 videos. I can't help myself because, you know, when something works and I see it working in action, you know, when I'm a coach at the end of the day, it's in my heart, it's in my blood. So if I find something that I think is useful, then I'll just upload it. Now, if you hadn't told me back in January of 2020 that I could build an online course in half a day, I wouldn't have believed you. This generation, whatever I am, I think I'm an X. I had no idea what a landing page was. So newfound skills and tools. And
it's amazing, right?
And the other thing is, please also note that, yes, I've done all the video editing for it, and 70% is good enough. So sometimes if there's a wind or there's an airplane coming over, you know, just turn it down a little bit, then so just be mindful that I've got, that's my principle. It's better off to show it so you can see it and feel it once you have a go yourself than worrying about perfection. Because as we know, perfection is the enemy of good, especially tennis players listening out there. Remember, there is no such thing as a perfect match. Maybe right. Once every couple of years, but I've never, when I ask that question in presentations, I say, show me on 2 hands how many times you played the perfect match in the last 12 months. No, I've never got an answer using both hands.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. It's true.
That's a good. And then, yeah, just one more point on there. Like, I think, Emma, you mentioned that a little bit earlier about once anybody does get the course. Again, Emma uses a variety. She, you know, some are homemade tools, some are just activities to gain a feeling, and then some are the on-court, off-court kinesthetic training aids. And of course, you know, my dad and I have always said, like, if you really like one of our training aids, but you know, don't have it in your budget to purchase it, go to Home Depot, buy a few tools, and you can, you know, make it yourself or do some makeshift thing. Mainly we're wanting to inspire kinesthetic learning, but kind of like the, kind of like the, your premium members, Lisa, where there's an exclusive discount code in there. There is an exclusive discount code in the Kinesthetic Learning Academy. Once people purchase it and gain access, that gives a nice discount off every single one of the training aids that that Emma uses in the now 90 plus videos. By the time you purchase it, it'll probably have gone up again. So isn't that exciting?
Probably. But yeah, this is a great example. Like, I mean, I love this handle from On Court, Off Court, you know, just the serving sock, but you can get like a football sock and stick three tennis balls in it. Yep. And it's going to do exactly the same. But the key is in how you do it, because a lot of people misuse right. the serving sock. So I'm huge on energy up on the serve. So I go through that. I go through that on how to get your Continental Grip license. And in that series for children age 8 to 12, I gamify the whole thing, which, of course, sometimes kids don't want to play with their parents, right? But, however, if – can you believe that? Unbelievable. Now, here's the thing, though, Lisa. If you put out, for example, one of the gamifications, and I give you five different ideas, but is a ladder, right? And each time you pass a level, you put the beanbag in one square in the ladder, and the goal is to get to the end of the ladder – and then you'll get your Continental Grip license for whatever, you know, whether it be the volley or the backhand or the serve, as an example. So rather than the parent having to come up with these creative ways to motivate the kids, I pretty much give you these ideas.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't have a ladder, you know, piece of chalk in the driveway, like hopscotch, old school hopscotch, and you draw the lines, and all of a sudden you now have created a game for your child that's right. going to take up, you know, maybe you only get through two levels in half an hour, and then the next day, what level are we on? So, you know, there's so many cool things within it. I sometimes forget, actually. I forgot about that. There's the whole gamification in there as well, which just means using game-like mechanics and thinking to make the learning environment fun and engaging, which, of course, again, sometimes parents need just help with the ideas.
Yeah.
So, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and I feel like after a year of being home with our kids, right, it's like, oh, my God, if I have to come up with one more thing to entertain my kids, I'm going to tear my hair out, right? It's really a challenge. So to just kind of have this, and I hate to say spoon-fed, but really you are spoon-feeding these phenomenal ideas to the families. All they have to do is watch and implement. There's no – you don't have to come up with anything. You don't have to be creative. It's here. Take it. Run with it, get active, get your kids active, get them excited about getting to be better athletes and in turn getting to be better tennis players.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. Would you like a fortune cookie? It's my little fortune cookie ball. Would you like one, Lisa?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
So then you can put little positive quotes at the end of your little practice with your player, cut open a little ball, stick some positive messages in it. Lisa, what did you get today? I either win or I learn. That's what you got today.
I love that. I love that.
So many little ideas, you know, that we can do to just make these learning environments and most importantly, just help kids fall in love with being active. Yes. That's our, you know, overall, that's what we want. We want kids to be healthy and active and enjoy being physical.
I love it. What's next on the agenda for Emma Doyle and Kalindi Denhofer? What's coming?
Oh, can I share?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not asking my permission because I, of course, give you permission.
Well, Kalindi said to me the other day, like, again, born out of the pandemic to work on my fitness, so to help with COVID-15, one of the things that I started doing, and this is controversial, so I'm just prefacing it, I started enjoying a little bit of pickleball. Now, I'm still a tennis lover. Oh, Lisa. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Have I lost? No, it's okay. It's okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We can still be friends.
I love tennis. Okay, so let's make no mistake, and I still love hitting tennis balls, but I needed something to do in smaller space and, in again, just for a bit of fitness, literally for fitness. Anyway, I started doing that. And then, of course, I couldn't help myself. Kalindi said, well, what do you think of this pickleball, you know, Arrow and pickleball this and pickleball that. And I go, oh, let me have a play. Let me have a go. And so, yeah, so there's 28 videos at the moment.
and soon to be 90.
Clearly doesn't know, she doesn't even know this yet. I'm just telling her now, and I've edited already half of it. And again, they're garage and driveway and on court. So similar to the Kinesthetic Learning Academy. But I am a tennis lover. I mean, that's what's next for us, just on the side. But to be honest, I'm really excited about presenting this weekend at the Winning Summit. It's called, it's basically how do you coach, I know you'd love this, Lisa, identity. So it's not just tennis. So it's my chosen identity word, which taps beautifully into, I think, what you're all about, is curiosity. And my talk is Who Stole Your Curiosity? Because we're born innately, as we said, we, you know, usually we crawl before we walk and then run. And so all of a sudden something or something happened and somebody stole that from you. So my whole presentation is about how do we get that back? How do we ask questions? How do we engage? How do we drop our assumptions? And how do we go with the or statements, I wonder or imagine if, which is so kinesthetic. So that really, I think it'll be just finished when this episode comes out, but you can go back, I'm sure, and have a look at it. Not trying to promote it, I'm just saying that's what I'm excited about right now because, like you, Lise, I shorten everything in Australia too. Sorry, I just called you Lise.
That's okay.
We believe in, you know, well, my number one goal as a coach is to develop the character of the player. So that's how you started this podcast. So I just thought I'd mention that because I'm so into that and continuing to present. And Clindy and I do a lot of webinars together, and I love everything that she's doing as well in the mindfulness space. We both are big into mindfulness coaching. Hello. And anyway, we could leave that bit in.
Okay, there we go.
Sorry, it's okay. In the other half of the house.
It's okay. No worries.
Anyway, Kalini, I'm calling you. You better take it away from here.
No, it's not even. It's not. I promise. I know how to silence my own phone, but it's, I guess, the acoustics. And this is what happens when you have work from home situations. At least
I mean, I know. My husband and I are, in and out of each other's space all day long. So.
But yeah, I love it. Emma's attitude is, this is why I love working with Emma, because I'm like, Emma, you think you might want to make like one video with one of our new products? Here, try it out, see if you like it. And she's like, no problem. I turned that into 5 series, 50 videos. It's a whole like course now. So what are we doing with it?
That's awesome.
Anyway, this is Emma. Emma is an amazingly motivated overachiever, and it's so much fun working with her. And yeah, the Winning Summit also sounds amazing. I think I saw that on Emma on your Facebook, and I was like, okay, I need to be checking that out. Like, I love Emma, everything Emma does in all of the spaces that she does it. And yeah, we're both, you know, super passionate about the mindfulness coaching. You know, from my side, if I can, you know, share just briefly,
please,
kind of one of the things I'm up to, and this is another one of the, you know, online courses. We'll see when it comes out exactly, but it's going to be in the, you know, in the yoga for tennis players space, or for athletes specifically, and will also be designed for, you know, for parents to work to do for themselves and with their kids, and for coaches, you know, and it's specifically looking at how we can balance the body. I had a ton of injuries, which kind of stopped my junior tennis playing track. So that's how I got into all of this, was learning what I needed to do to basically rebalance and heal my own body. And I'm happy to report that I've been getting back into all kinds of racket and paddle sports lately. I actually played tennis the last 2 days in a row. So that was like super fun, indoors with masks. Playing with masks was super weird, but at least I'm playing. And yeah, I've been dabbling in pickleball too. Don't hate me, Lisa. as well as
it's people, okay, it's okay.
Don't worry, I still like I'm like, it's fun, but like nothing will ever compare to tennis and the feeling of striking a tennis ball. And I kind of have been dabbling in like ping pong and cross country skiing. So I have like a whole range of things. It's not like I'm picking, you know, pickleball.
You're off the hook.
Over tennis, but yes, basically in the off court things for tennis players and for athletes in general, and how to balance that out, how to, you know, get their minds ready, how to get their bodies ready. And once you have that foundation down, go learn through kinesthetic learning. So I see it as a, you know, fully expansive approach.
I love that. Yeah.
And one thing I'd love to just say is I love Kalindi's foldable yoga mat. Because I don't know about you, Lisa, but when I do a down-faced dog, I don't even look like, you know, my heels are so high off the ground that I fold up the foldable yoga mat at the back of my heels. And all of a sudden now my down-faced dog is starting to look like, well, I mean, I wouldn't say
an inverted triangle.
I wouldn't say it like that, but more like that, you know. But at the end of the day, what a cool idea. It takes me 2 seconds to fold up my foldable yoga mat, and I love it. So, Kalindi, thank you for sending me that. I forgot to say thanks.
Yay, no, of course. Yeah, Lisa, in case it wasn't obvious, I inherited that from my dad, it's not just good enough to have a random piece of equipment that's like all the other pieces. I was like, I want to do yoga products. So I was like, what can I do that's completely different from everything else? And that foldable yoga mat idea was born. So yeah, like Emma mentioned, basically a kinesthetic yoga learning aid that works for, you know, yoga mat, a bolster, a meditation cushion, you name it, all these props, down dog assistance. So it's continuing that passion of kinesthetic learning on the off-court side of on-court, off-court.
I love it. I need one of those for my husband. I've dragged him to a couple of yoga classes in the park during the pandemic. I've literally dragged him to go. But yeah, he could use a little kinesthetic assistance. So
and that's okay.
That. Yeah. Oh, it's great. I'm just thrilled he's willing to get in the car and go with me. So. Well, ladies, y'all are amazing. I am so thrilled to finally get you on the podcast and to learn about all of these different things that you're doing. For the listeners and the viewers, please check out parentingaces.com because we're going to have links to all of this stuff in the show notes, not just to Kinesthetic Learning Academy, but also to Emma's presentations, to Kalindi's products, and you'll just be able to go one-stop shop, parentingaces.com, click, 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 and see everything that these amazing women are doing. And when the mindfulness piece comes, you know, goes live and you've got that course ready to go, I hope you'll come back and we can go through it and introduce it to the Parenting Aces audience.
Yeah, I would love to do that. And yeah, Lisa, thank you so much for having us and for what you do. It's truly inspiring and awesome. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to be a small part of that.
And from, you know, it was awesome to have you a part of our symposium that Clindy and I did last year, the parent player coach triad. You were one of my favorite presentations because you're just on the money and you're bridging the gap. And Clindy and I have always said that is the sweet spot of the triangle. You have to have all three on the same page. And I've always been, when I didn't understand parents, I used to call them HMs, high maintenance. Oh, that parent's really high maintenance. But they're just happy Mondays. Now I call them HMs as well because once I understood that they just needed information or they just needed a process or they just needed a list or the benefits, and I was like, oh, now they're a client for life because I didn't have enough tools to understand them. So, you know, I think what we've always got to do on our self-discovery journey through podcasts and through presentations is always say, oh, you know, how can I just pick up one thing and add it to my coaching, playing, or parenting toolkit? And you do that so well. And I'm just so rapt to have spent, you know, an hour of our life that we'll all never get back, ladies, with these two inspiring women. As I always say, I'm going to try and hit my screen. The ball is in your court. Oh, almost.
There it goes.
I miss. Sometimes I hit the camera, sometimes I don't. But anyway, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate everything you're doing in this space.
And back at you. Thank you so much. And to my listeners and viewers, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on Parenting Aces. I'm Lisa Stone, and you've been listening to the Parenting Aces podcast for tennis parents by a tennis parent. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us and write a review on iTunes. For more information on navigating the junior and college tennis journey, please visit us online at parentingaces.com. Thanks for tuning in and sharing us with your tennis community.